Bethany. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, now the 23rd chapter as we move through our study. Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll be in verse 23, which is where we left off. Leviticus 23, verse 23. We're just going to read a few verses, and we'll be dealing with the rest of the chapter. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, and the first day of the month, shall we have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation." And God blesses the reading of His word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that You would challenge us, touch our hearts, draw us, Father, to the center of Your will. And we thank You, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. The deeper I get into the Old Testament, the more I know that it teaches of the New Testament. This Bible, from cover to cover, is a Jesus book. If you will, it is a hymn book. It is all about Him. It is Him. It is about Him in Genesis. It is about Him in Revelation. It is about Him in all the books in between. It is amazing, as you study the Bible, how it all just kind of sticks together. It is one of those things that you're reading and you're wondering, what in the world could this possibly mean? And then as you go through the Scriptures, you have aha moments as God reveals that His Word is true and His Word has a message and His Word is a challenge to your heart. The Old Testament prepares for the New Testament, and in the New Testament, the Old Testament is fulfilled. So in our study of Leviticus, we see there is not one God with one plan for the Hebrews, one God with one plan for the Christians. We see there is one God with one plan. God has a plan for you. There is one God who has designed deliverance and salvation for everyone that has or will believe. He's unfolded His great plan in the Bible, and He unfolds it before our eyes in the pages of the Bible. God weaves His wonderful plan of salvation into the yearly calendar of the Hebrews. And so He calls His people together at appointed times. Holy convocations, special days. There are seven of them in the Hebrew calendar, seven special days, special feast times, seven times. Seven is a perfect number. So there would be seven feasts. And He reveals in the seven feasts the perfect work of His Holy Son. Now you'll remember in the Passover, God focuses our attention on the sacrificial lamb. There would be a lamb slain. And then the blood of that lamb had to be applied to every individual household if the family was going to escape death. That was the Passover. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they would eat bread without leaven. Leaven is a symbol of sin, and so God is trying to get them to get the sin out. He's delivering them from Egypt. He wants to get Egypt out of them. And as a reminder of that, He wants them to remember that they are freed from slavery and they have a new life. The festival of first fruits. First fruits. They would take the first fruit of harvest. They would wave it before the Lord. And as they did, they would be saying, "Everything we have comes from God. Every blessing we have, every breath we take, every opportunity we have, it all comes from Almighty God." And then the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, is celebrated, and it shows of the completed harvest and how thankful we are that God has completed His purpose among us, that God wants us to complete our purpose for Him. It is also the time that they celebrate God's law being given, as we should celebrate the opportunity to follow God's will. God had 365 days in a year. We have 365 days in a year. 365 days. Imagine when He's planning things out, 365 days, His son could come and die on any one of those days. Jesus could suffer, die, be buried, and resurrected anytime during the calendar year. If it was going to happen, he could choose when it would happen. Now, it is God's plan that Jesus would hang on the cross at the time of the Passover. Not just at any point during the Passover, but Jesus would hang on the cross at the exact moment, the exact second that lambs were being sacrificed in the temple. Jesus would die at the moment of sacrifice because he is the ultimate sacrifice. And we know that God saved those that applied the blood in that first Passover. God saves those that apply the blood eternally of Jesus Christ. I hope you've applied the blood. I hope you've received what Jesus has done for you on Calvary's cross. I hope that is part of your life. The timing of Jesus' death, pairing with the Passover, is a miracle. And what it does, it tells you that God is in charge of time. By the way, I know that many of you are interested in time. Now, I know that because every time when we meet, I see you looking at watches. And the amazing thing is half of you don't wear them anymore. God is so interested in time that he has timed out everything that takes place, proving he is the Lord of time. And my friend, you have a time. One of the things that I am very aware of in the recent weeks is we've lost loved ones and we've lost church members. God has a time for you. It is appointed for you to live. It is appointed for you to die. You have a time. May I tell you, there is a time that comes up. We've had some people die recently. Miss Hillier went home to be with the Lord. So thankful she's with Jesus. So thankful for the life she lived here. People ask me, well, why did she die? She was 101. There comes a time to go. May I tell you that most of us will not get that many days? I hope you do. Start taking care of yourself now. For some of us, we waited too long. Time is important to God, and so he maps out everything. Jesus was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Israel was free from slavery at the time of Unleavened Bread. Jesus was buried to take our sins away. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was a time of cleaning out sin, leaven being a picture of sin. First fruits lifts up the first of the harvest. It took place on a Sunday. Why did it take place on a Sunday? It could have been any day. Oh, no, it couldn't. Because on a Sunday, Jesus rose from the grave. On a Sunday, Jesus proves that there is life after death. On a Sunday, Jesus proves that he can forgive your sins, save your soul, and give you eternal life. It happened on a Sunday. And so the unleavened bread was took place and carried out the harvest fruits, the Feast of the Harvest was on the Sunday. Then there's Pentecost. The harvest is all in. The law is given. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is given. 3,000 souls are saved and the church is begun. Isn't God great? Isn't the Bible amazing? So there are four feasts. Jesus has fulfilled all four of them. Then there are three more feasts. You may remember, there were four in the spring, and then there was a gap, and then there are three that took place in the fall. Pentecost started the early church. When Pentecost came, that started God's time of grace. When Pentecost came, started the time when anybody who wants to be saved can be saved, and the church is here to get them saved. Now, you may remember, we talked about going to London. And I don't know if you've ever been to London. I really like London. It is a great city. The best way to get around London, they talk about London cabbies. They know a whole lot. They charge a whole lot. The best way to get around London is the subway. And when you go into the subway, you have an easy time. They got it all mapped out. It is a great subway. It is generally a clean subway. And you go and you start to get on the subway car. There's a little gap between the stand that you're on and the subway car, the platform and the car. If you've ever been on the subway in London, there is a phrase that sticks in your mind, and I've told you about it before, and I'm telling you about it again because I want it to stick in your mind. When the doors open, this voice comes out and says, "Mind the gap." Now, when the doors close, you're on your merry way. Before the doors open for you to get off, there is a voice that comes out that says, "Mind the gap." Anywhere you go in London on the subway, you will hear at least two times, "Mind the gap." Now, in their defense, they don't want anybody or anything falling into the gap. And so they tell you to mind the gap. It's very important to them. They don't want to have to get anything out or anybody out that has fallen in the gap. They want you to be aware before you approach that that's in your head and you're going to know. Now, why do I want you to know that? Because as believers, we are in the gap between the first four feasts and the last three feasts. We are in the gap in the days of grace. We are in the gap when we can have influence on others. We're in the gap when people can accept Jesus and go to heaven when they die. We're in the gap before the tribulation comes. We're in that gap. How long is the gap? I don't know. In fact, no one knows. But I do know we are in the gap, and one day the gap will be over. And when the gap is over, our time is over. And so we need to learn as believers, our job is to mind the gap till Jesus comes. We are to get souls to Jesus. That's our job. That's minding the gap. Now, after the gap, there are three feasts. Jesus is going to fulfill those three feasts. And Jesus is going to come again. And so way back in Leviticus, God is telling us about the first and second coming of Jesus Christ. And we have the Feast of Trumpets in verse 24 in chapter 23. "In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets on a holy convocation." The first four feasts point to the things that Jesus accomplished in the past. In our past. Future to those that heard it first is our past. The next three feasts are going to take place in our future. The Feast of Trumpets was a celebration of the new year. Now, the Jews had a religious new year and they had a civil new year. The religious new year was the first day of Nisan in the spring. Then they had a civil new year, which was the first day of Tishri in the fall. When we have New Year's, we have noise. People do a lot of things at New Year's, but most customly, we fire off fireworks. And so fireworks kind of mark the new year. We have places where confetti falls, marks the new year. They marked the new year by blowing trumpets. Now, the trumpets were to alert and to gather. It was to gather the people together to start the new year. How were you supposed to start the new year? The trumpet was so that you would know, I need to start my year thinking about God. May I tell you, friend, you need to start your year thinking about God. You need to start your month thinking about God. You need to start your day thinking about God. And what would it do to your life if every hour you just took a moment to thank God for being in that hour? If we took our focus and we put it on Jesus and we put it on Him, not some of the time, but all of the time, they would call attention to the fact that God is real and God cares and God has a plan for you. By the sounding of the trumpets, that year was not to be their year. That year was to be God's year. My friend, if you are a believer, you need to know every year has to be God's year. And every day has to be God's day. Now, how does gathering with God's people and focusing on the sound of a trumpet really relate to us? The sounding of the trumpets pointed to people getting together, and for us, points to Jesus' return. There will be a day when Jesus is going to return in the eastern sky. When Jesus returns, those of us who know the Lord are going to go. That is called the rapture. Jesus will come back. We will go to meet Him in the air. I don't know about you, but when Jesus comes back, I'm leaving. Get somebody else to preach the next Sunday. Until then, let me take care of it. Until Jesus calls us home in death or Jesus returns, we are here to mind the gap. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Listen, so shall we ever be with the Lord. When Jesus comes back, I'm going and that's it. I am with Him from that point on. Jesus spoke of that day in Matthew 24, 31. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather His elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to another. Now the Jews had two trumpets. One trumpet was a long skinny trumpet. And they would blow that. You know when they would blow that? When it was time to come to church. I want you guys to get a trumpet. Every Sunday morning, I want somebody to get up and blow a trumpet and get everybody else up. Make sure you get here. I want you to start blowing a trumpet for those that you don't see. You know, folks that should be here that aren't here. All those empty blue seats that are around you, they need to be filled. Who's going to fill them? We could fill every one of them and more if we just had our own people show up. Somebody needs to blow a trumpet for them. That should be you. Sunday school teacher, set up your class to where somebody's blowing a trumpet for everybody in that class. You know, start by blowing that trumpet. Blow that trumpet about Friday. If you blow that trumpet on Friday and you don't see them on Sunday, blow that trumpet on Saturday. If you blow that trumpet on Friday and Saturday and you don't see them on Sunday, blow that trumpet on Sunday. If you still don't see them, go by and pick them up and bring them. With or without the trumpet. The other trumpet that they blew was a shofar. The shofar was different. It wasn't made by hands. The shofar was actually a ram's horn. It pointed to a particular event. It pointed to that day that Abraham took Isaac up the mountain to offer a sacrifice. There was no sacrifice but Isaac. And Abraham prepared to offer Isaac. And he was wondering, where's the sacrifice? And then he found out he was the sacrifice. And as Abraham was about to offer that sacrifice, God stopped him and God provided a ram. So the blowing of the shofar showed God's provision of a sacrifice. God provided a sacrifice for you. He provided a sacrifice for me. That is Jesus. Two occasions in the scripture where God sounds the shofar. There was Mount Sinai, when God revealed himself to Moses. In Exodus 19 we find, "And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai." This is when the Lord gives the Ten Commandments. The first time he sounded the shofar, God revealed himself to Moses and gave the law. The second time God is going to sound the shofar is when Jesus is going to come and get all those for which the law has been completed. We will hear it. Now, we weren't here to hear the first time the shofar blew. Oh, but if you know Jesus as your Savior, you'll hear it the next time. Hey, you'll hear it if you're alive, and you will hear it if you are dead. Either way, you will hear it, and if you're dead, you'll get up, and if you're alive, you'll go up. And we will meet the Lord in the air. If you're dead, you'll go first. It just makes a little sense. You should give your elders a little more time, and if you have somebody that's deceased, maybe give them a little more time. "Wait a minute, Brother Jerry, I thought if you were dead, that means to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. What do you mean that we're going to get up for you?" Okay, this is a little, this is ground that is not all spelled out, but this is what we think takes place. When you are dead, your spirit goes to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you leave your body behind, you are in a spirit. You leave your body behind as a spirit, you go to be with the Lord. When Jesus returns, your spirit comes back with him. Your body resurrects. Somehow you are joined. Don't worry about the decayed old body. You get a new one. A better one. One that can eat and not gain weight, I'm sure. Or one that gains weight and everybody's fat. I don't know how that works. I just know that God takes care of it. If you are dead, you join with your spirit. If you are alive, you go up and you are changed. Oh, for the blowing of the trumpet, for it to sound, for life on this earth to be transcended. It is going to happen. It is real. God told about it way back in Leviticus. And he tells us about it again and again and again. By the way, that blowing of the trumpet has another application for the day after the rapture. It takes place for the Jews. That blowing of the trumpet is for the rallying of the Jews. Where do they rally to? They rally to Jerusalem. They start to wake up. They start to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. They start to understand that they messed up. I don't know if you are aware of it or not, but there is a rallying of people to Jerusalem now. Jews in droves are going back to Jerusalem. Since 1948, they've been flooding back. Now, everybody hasn't gone back, but many are going back. When I was coming back from Israel, I sat with two people that used to work for Kellogg. They worked for Kellogg, had a good career with Kellogg, left Kellogg. Where were they living right now? They were living just south of Jerusalem. They were going, they said, home. Had they ever lived there? No. They were Jews. They were going home. What made them come? What made them go? I asked. We had time. They said, "We woke up one day with a burning in our hearts that we had to come home." I believe that burning in the hearts will happen to Jews all over the world, and then they will rally back and they will come back home. Many of them will realize they made a mistake. Jesus is the Messiah, and they will come to faith. There will be Jewish evangelists during the tribulation time, according to the scripture. It's a wonderful thing what God is going to do. But friend, don't worry about that horrible time called the tribulation. If you know Jesus, you're out of here, okay? The Day of Atonement. Now, this morning, if you were in Sunday school, you got to talk about the Day of Atonement. If you were with us when we talked about it a few weeks ago, chapter 16 deals with the Day of Atonement. Chapter 23, verse 27. Also, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you. Now, we're not going to deal a lot with this, but just to remind you, God makes it clear that the blood of lambs and goats could not pay for the sins of the world. There would be a Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement, most holy day. It was the day that they got all their sins forgiven that had not been covered. So they were covered on that day. They needed all their sins to be covered. The Day of Atonement tells us Jesus has paid it all. He's paid for all the sins of all the people of all time. Anyone that comes to him can be forgiven. I don't know what you've done. Don't really need to hear what you've done. I do need you to bring what you have done to the feet of Jesus and allow him to cover it with his blood. Only then can you be forgiven. And once he has covered it, it is gone. Because part of the Day of Atonement was the scapegoat and the carrying away of sin. This also points to the second coming of Jesus. And it points to how God has come to get us who have had their sins taken away. There's the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 23, chapter 23, verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Feast of Tabernacles. Wake up, campers. This is your holiday. This is when you get your family, you get your stuff, you move out of your house into a tent. They did this every year. It was an annual tenting event. And they would go out and they would clean out their houses and they would go and they would celebrate the fact that God took care of them for 40 years in the desert. It's a reminder for believers, no matter what hardship you face, no matter how difficult it gets, hey, we're just in an old bodily tent in this old world. And I want you to know, they celebrated this feast to let them know God took care of them. I want you to know, believer, God takes care of you. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. As God prepared the manna for the Hebrews in the desert, God will prepare what you need in this old world. You just need to be trusting God, walking with God day by day by day. As a Christian, we don't have to spend time in tents. Praise God. If you like that, fine. Knock yourself out. I am thankful for air conditioning and heating and all those kind of things God has given. May it continue. But the good news is, my God will take care of me wherever I am. I don't have to be in a tent. I can be anywhere because Jesus has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. This feast also speaks to a time when Jesus will tabernacle on the earth. That's called the millennium. After the period of tribulation, Jesus will come back. He will rule from Jerusalem. He will tabernacle for 1,000 years on the earth. That is going to happen. God is foreshadowing in these feasts all that's going to happen for the rest of time. God has spelled it out. God has let it be known there is a sacrifice for sin. You've got to receive it. God's let it be known that He has, as He has Jesus is risen from the dead. There is life after death. You can live it. God has let it be known that he is coming again. He will blow the trumpets. If we are still alive and remain, we will go to meet him in the air. If we are dead as believers, we will also rise and meet him in the air, and we will ever be with the Lord. God has let us know that there will be a period of time on the earth when Hebrews will actually wake up to who their Messiah is. God has let it be known that he is going to come and reign for 1,000 years, and those of us who know him will reign with him. God has let it be known. And God has let it be known that if you're a Christian, you have a job to mind the gap. God spelled things out, and then he spelled things out, and then he spelled things out again throughout the scriptures. God has let it all be known, so that if you want to come to him for salvation, you can. What we want to do right now is mind the gap. If you are here and have never received Jesus as your Savior, God's word unfolding all of history through these feasts should be enough to point you to Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again. He wants to come into your heart. You apply the blood by inviting Jesus into your heart. And if you are willing to do that, just walk down one of these aisles, say, I want Jesus. We will pray together. He will come into your heart. You will be gloriously saved today. Believer, if you've wandered away from the Lord, the time to get back to the Lord is today. And believer, your job is to start minding the gap. There are people you know that are unchurched. There are people you know that are lost. There are people you know that need Jesus. Mind the gap. In fact, a great thing to do would be to get out there this afternoon and just call a few folks, invite them to come to a time of thanksgiving tonight. That shouldn't be offensive to anyone. They'll come and they'll hear what Jesus has been doing. Might wake them up. Might give them an opportunity to come to Jesus. Mind the gap. You make a decision this morning. If you've never met Jesus, will you come to meet him? Just walk down and say, I want Jesus. If you know him, will you commit yourself to serve him? And will you mind the gap? Will you commit yourself to touch the lives of others for Jesus? God calls to you. Hope you'll make the decision he's laid out for you. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together. We pray now that you would move in our hearts, move us toward decisions that we need to make. In this room are some that have never met Jesus. Father, don't let them leave without Jesus. Let them come to you today just to step out, just to come forward, just to say, I want Jesus, that you might save their souls. For us as believers, Father, that we would stand with you. Father, that we would seek forgiveness of all of our sins and we would put them away and that we would walk with you. And Father, that you would put lost souls on our hearts and let us mind the gap. And we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we sing, you come.